AFib, or atrial fibrillation, is a long-term condition, but the good news is that you can continue to lead a long and active life. We'll dive into AFib basics, symptoms, and the exciting treatment options available with attending physician in cardiology and a cardiac electrophysiologist, Dr. Gregory Kuhn. This is MIMO Med Talk. I'm your host, Amanda Wild. Dr. Kuhn, thank you for being here.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, Amanda.
It's great to have you here to talk about this. Can you start by explaining what atrial fibrillation or AFib is for those who might be unfamiliar with the condition?
Atrial fibrillation, or we shorten it for AFib, is by far and away the most common arrhythmia that we see, particularly as patients get older. And basically what it is an abnormal heart rhythm that originates from the top chambers of the heart. Now, normally the top two chambers squeeze and the bottom chamber squeeze, the top two chambers squeeze, the bottom chamber squeeze. That's how the heart functions in normal rhythm. When people are in atrial fibrillation, the top chambers beat very, very fast and erratically due to abnormal electrical signals, and that causes the rest of the heart to beat abnormally and erratically. And this causes the heart to beat quite inefficiently. And that's basically the basics of AFib, and that's what we see when patients come into the office, is that their heart is beating very erratically and irregularly.
I was going to ask, what are some of the common symptoms of AFib that patients should look out for? Obviously, if your heart is beating in a thready way like that, and you can tell it's speeding up, that's one symptom. Does that also cause fatigue, or are there other symptoms we should watch out for?
The symptoms can be as overt as very severe palpitations. They feel their heart racing very fast. But a lot of times what we see is symptoms are a little bit more insidious and not as obvious. Things like fatigue or exercise intolerance. So a lot of times patients who were able to walk 5, 6, or even 10 blocks, now all of a sudden over the last few months, they can only walk 1 or 2 blocks before they have to stop and take a breath. Now they can only walk up 1 flight of stairs before they used to walk up 2 flights of stairs. So a lot of times that's usually more the presenting symptoms, fatigue, exercise intolerance, but other times patients have severe palpitations where they feel like their heart is racing as well.
Who is most at risk for developing AFib?
It's by far and away more commonly seen in older patients. So as people get older, the risk of developing AFib goes up, and somewhere on the order of about 15 to 20% of people over the age of 75 will have atrial fibrillation. So it's very common. However, we also see it in younger patients as well. We call this lone AFib. Patients in their 30s and 40s who have severe palpitations, they come in, a lot of them have atrial fibrillation as well. Patients who have high blood pressure, patients who are obese, diabetes, sleep apnea, all of these comorbidities put you at risk for atrial fibrillation.
So there are some lifestyle elements here that you can control.
Yes, there are some risk factors you can't control. There is a genetic component to it as well that we can't control. Females are a bit of a higher risk as well, so obviously you can't control that. So gender plays a bit of a role, and age, obviously we can't control that. But other things like high blood pressure, obesity, sleep apnea, these are modifiable risk factors is what we call them, that we can control to potentially prevent the development of AFib.
You mentioned that the symptoms of AFib are often subtle, so how does someone know when to go to the doctor?
Sometimes they don't. And a lot of times this is picked up routinely on an EKG done in your primary doctor's office or in a general cardiologist's office if you're seeing them for something else. A lot of times patients will catch it on a home monitor. So when they take their blood pressure, some of these home monitors will tell you if you have an irregular rhythm. Or a lot of people have Apple watches now or any sort of smartwatch. And a lot of times that will also pick it up as well. So there are methods to sort of picking this up if you're not completely symptomatic. But that is one of the issues that we're seeing, is that we see people coming in and they've had AFib for we don't know how long and they just didn't know it. So this is why we're trying to do things like this to get out the word and educate people to keep an eye out for subtle symptoms like fatigue and exercise intolerance that may be a sign of underlying AFib.
And how does your field of electrophysiology play a role in treating AFib?
This is one of the main things that we treat as electrophysiologists. We're basically the electricians of the heart, and we deal with abnormal heart rhythms, AFib being the most common one. Now, the treatment approach is sort of a two-pronged approach, and I'll sort of go through how we approach treating AFib. First, we deal with the arrhythmia itself, so the actual atrial fibrillation. The treatment for this has sort of shifted over the last few years. The paradigm has sort of shifted. 10 years ago, we would get patients who were in atrial fibrillation and would just say, okay, not a big deal. as long as your heart rate isn't going too fast, we didn't really care too much about getting you back into a normal rhythm. That has shifted, however. Nowadays, we realize, with good data, that getting you back into a normal rhythm and out of atrial fibrillation is much better in the long term. It keeps people out of the hospital, it helps with their heart function, and potentially, it may make them live longer. So the way we do that, where we get them out of atrial fibrillation, is with something called an ablation. And what an ablation is it's a procedure where we put catheters into the groin, we go up into the heart, we find where these abnormal electrical signals are coming from, and we get rid of them.
Well, how do you get rid of them? What is the ablation?
There's a few different modalities. One where we use heat energy. So we go up with a catheter and we go inside the heart. In the top left chamber of the heart, that's where atrial fibrillation comes from. The abnormal electrical signals that cause atrial fibrillation come from this top left chamber of the heart. We put our catheter up in the top left chamber and we deliver heat energy to the tissue to basically burn or cauterize the tissue to get rid of those abnormal signals. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is with freezing. So we're using cold mechanism. We actually freeze the tissue to destroy the abnormal electrical signals. And the newer technology, which is what we use now, is something called, big name called electroporation. Basically, that's a fancy way of saying we put electrical field or electrical energy into the tissue to destroy the tissue. And that has become much safer. The procedure takes only about an hour and a half to do. It's quite safe. Patients come in and they leave the same day. It's an outpatient procedure, and the risks are quite low with the procedure, and it's quite effective. About 80 to 85% of people who get this procedure do not have any more atrial fibrillation at about 1 year. So it's a very effective procedure. It's very safe. And we know that getting people back into a normal rhythm is much better for them long term.
Because they won't go further into atrial fibrillation. If you catch it early, you're saying it may go away entirely.
That's right. So early treatment is important. And again, sometimes patients come in and they've been in AFib and they didn't know it. So they've been in AFib for some time. And that makes our job a little bit harder because the longer you are in AFib, the harder it is to get you out of AFib and the less successful these procedures become.
So this newest procedure for ablation, is that a treatment option that's available to patients right now?
Yes. This is what we do in our hospital here. That's what I do. It's called PFA or pulse field ablation. And again, it delivers electrical fields to the tissue from the inside to destroy that abnormal tissue without affecting the structures surrounding the heart. The issue with some of the older modalities, older technologies, is that you can imagine if I'm delivering heat or freezing energy inside the tissue is quite thin. So that can affect the surrounding structures like the esophagus, the food pipe, the lungs, the nerves that surround the heart. However, this new technology is very specific for the heart muscle itself and the heart tissue. So it only destroys or damages the abnormal signals in the heart muscle without affecting the surrounding structures, making it much safer for patients.
So you said there's been a paradigm shift, and this is part of it, catching things early. And then this new effective technique has been developed. Is there any downside to that?
To the procedure itself?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's risks to any procedure we do. The risks with this procedure are quite low. All in all, to give a number on it, the risks of the procedure are probably about 1%. And that includes damaging the blood vessels in the groin where we put catheters in. Obviously, we're moving catheters inside the heart. So there's also a risk of damaging the heart muscle itself. But again, this is all done with all new technology. We're visualizing ourselves live within the heart using an ultrasound. We have 3D mapping systems that allow us to see exactly where our catheter is within the heart. So we have all this new technology to make things safer and more effective. And the procedure has become markedly, markedly safer and much more effective for patients.
So newer technology means more information for you and fewer side effects for patients. Since this seems to be an evolving field, looking into the future, what advancements do you see on the horizon in cardiac electrophysiology?
This is one of the nice things about this field is that it's constantly changing and there's constantly innovation. PFA is relatively new, this pulse field ablation, this newer ablation technology is relatively new. So we're sort of excited to see where that goes in treating other arrhythmias other than just atrial fibrillation. But the good thing about this technology is that as it is now, patients are intubated and it's done under general anesthesia. probably within the next few months to 6 months, we will actually start doing this under just sedation, where patients don't even need to go under general anesthesia anymore. So now, not only are you making it safer in terms of the procedure that I do, but not having to go under anesthesia, you take away all the risks of general anesthesia as well. So this procedure is becoming much safer, much quicker. So now patients don't have to be under sedation for a long time or be under anesthesia for a long time, taking away those risks, and not have to be in the hospital for as long. So all these things are sort of moving towards a faster, safer treatment option for AFib. 10 years ago, this procedure took probably about three and a half hours to do, and patients would stay overnight one or two nights. Now, this is done probably about an hour and 10 minutes, and patients go home the same day. They're out of the hospital within a few hours after the procedure. So it's been a real shift in terms of the efficiency and the safety of the procedures that we do.
Dr. Kuhn, thank you for enlightening us today on the management of atrial fibrillation and bringing us up to date on these new developments.
Of course. Happy to do it. Thanks for having me.
That was attending physician in cardiology and a cardiac electrophysiologist, Dr. Gregory Kuhn. Thank you so much for joining me today on MIMO Med Talk. I'm your host, Amanda Wild. For an appointment with our cardiac team, call 718-283-7693. For more information, follow us on social at MIMO Health or visit MIMO.org. If you found this MIMO Med Talk podcast helpful, please share it on your social media channels. And to hear additional episodes of MIMO Med Talk, please visit MIMO.org.